truly have been redeemed. As the song states, we are not speaking for anyone else as we sing that song, but we are speaking of self. And it is very edifying that we know that we have been redeemed. As we look at the title of the lesson on this evening, giving thanks to God, giving thanks to God. You've heard me say, and I guess I will say this until I say it no more, that we as a people in the United States of America are some of the most ungrateful people on the face of the earth. Many people may not agree with that. There are others that will totally agree with it. I guess it may be on the same lines as individuals saying that we are a Christian nation. Many people disagree with that, and others say that we are. But by saying that we are the most ungrateful, unthankful people, I may not be talking about you, I just may be talking about self. Because I know in my life, I have been unthankful. I have not thanked my parents the way I should have. I have not thanked my wife the way I should have. I have not even thanked my children the way I should have. But most of all, there have been times in my life where I haven't even thanked God the way I should have. And I believe that as we think about giving thanks to God, there are many, many things that we can be thankful for. But yet, we take these things for granted. We take these things as God owes us something. He's already given us His Son. I have been redeemed. Think about it. How were you, or how were we redeemed? It was by God sending His Son to this earth to be crucified on the cruel cross of Calvary so each one of us could have a right to a tree of life. That is something in itself to be thankful for. So giving thanks to God, giving thanks to God. Every day should be a day of thanksgiving on the Christian's calendar. You know, we spend Thanksgiving in the month of November. And Anita, she's in Sister Linda, can't forget her. Her birthday usually falls in that same realm of Thanksgiving. My wife, she tries to take the whole month of Thanksgiving. She's thankful. Don't be having a good time if she come around you on the month of November, because it's all about her. She's thankful for life. And I believe each one of us should have that attitude, not just when our birthday rolls around, or not just when Thanksgiving rolls around, but every single day of our lives we should be thankful that God has granted us another opportunity to draw closer to Him. We need to be thankful. And as we are thankful, we need to understand that many times it's not, again, about anything we have done, but it's all about what God has done for us. In Ephesians chapter 5, in the verses 20, Paul writes, and he says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not for some things, but for all things. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about, you know, the things in which you did that were not to glorify God, but you are thankful that He allowed you to get through those things and to understand that now you have to focus on Him? Have you ever stopped to think about it? In all things, we're to give thanks. All things. Not some, but all things. You know, we should be thankful that when we were children, when we were in school and we were misbehaving and we got ourselves, you know, caught up in so-called fights, and not only just fight 101, but every now and then we got into some gang fights, and it really wasn't gangs, it was brothers against sisters, or sisters against brothers, or, you know, my cousins, and we all just did things that were not pleasing to our parents, let alone being pleasing to God. But thankful that we had enough sense to just fight with our hands. Because there are many people today that are fighting and get caught up in things and they lose their lives. Because the next man, he doesn't value life the way the other does. But the Bible says, in all things, give thanks. He also wrote in the book of Colossians chapter 2 in the verses 7. Colossians 2 in the verses 7. And he talks about that we are to abound with thanksgiving. Move forward. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. As we have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Moving forward. Thanking God for what He has done because we are grounded, we are rooted, we are built up in Him and established in the faith. Knowing that there's a better life. Knowing that there's a hope that each one of us are hoping for and has to spend our eternity in heaven with Him. Do you ever stop to think about that? That as you're thanking God, that it is not just standing in one place. It is not just sitting in one area, but is moving forward. Trying to help someone else out along the way. See, these are the things that God is pleased with. This would show our thanksgiving unto Him, how grateful we are for what He has done for us. And again, Paul writes in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in the verses 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in the verses 18. We keep looking at how Paul keeps pointing to and encouraging people and stressing the importance of in everything, give thanks. Why? It's not to get a reward, but it is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's what the Father wants us to do. He wants us not to forget where He brought us from. He does not want us to forget what He has done for us. He does not want us to forget that there's a home prepared for each one of us, and we should be thankful that there is such a place. And the only way that we're going to be able to show this is by the things in which we do. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. See, there are many people that are not thankful. They say that they know God. They say that they're serving God. That they're calling upon His name each and every day. But here we find in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, what Jesus says, "Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." It is God's will that we what? Be thankful, and we must do the will of God to go to heaven. But we all are unthankful in many cases. In many ways, we're unthankful. So we need to be praising God on a daily basis. You don't have to show people that you're praising God. But you must show people, according to your good works, that you are a part of God's family so that God may be glorified. That's a way to give thanks unto Him, by doing good works. Again, not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It's important that we realize that. Have you? When is the last time that you thank God for anything? Of course, today is Sunday. You know, I thank God for letting me come to worship. What about on yesterday? Did you thank God for letting you sleep in, for those that were able to sleep in? What about Friday? Did you thank God for allowing you to go to work, even come home, and everything was still intact when you got there? Did you thank God for those things? So we need to just take a moment to thank God. Thank Him for something, because there's so much that He has done for each one of us. Just pick something. We'll go through some of those things in just a moment. But just pick something that's happening in your life that you're thankful for. The example of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, "I thank thee." You know, many people are like, well, Jesus is the Son of God. What does He have to be thankful for? "I thank thee, O Father, the Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes." I thank you. If Jesus can take a moment to thank God, why do we think that we don't have to? We're not better than Jesus. Each one of us, the Bible says, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus had no sin, but yet he stopped to thank God. Can we do that? Can we just take a moment to thank God for something? Something. Remember never to forget. Is that hard? Remember never to forget. If you can remember to do that, it'll be okay. The old saying, you know, tie a piece of string around your finger so that you don't forget what you're supposed to remember. I look at that string and why did I put that string there? No, I tell Anita on several occasions, you know, remind me to do such and such. And then you know what she would say in return? Why come you didn't remind me to remind you? Well, what are we going to do? How are we going to remember these things? Remember never to forget. Forgetfulness is the enemy of thankfulness. If we forget who God is, we're not going to be thankful. If we forget what God has done for us, we will not be thankful. Joseph was forgotten by the butler, wasn't he? You remember me now. In Genesis chapter 40, verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him? He was supposed to remember him. And in many cases, you know, we find people that are in prison. Or we find people that are in hospitals. And, you know, we always say, well, I'm going to remember you during this time. I'm going to remember you at that time. And I'm going to tell somebody about you. And I'm going to make sure that they come by to visit you. Or I'm going to make sure that they put you where you need to be when you get out of this place. And as soon as we leave there, we forget what we're supposed to do. Why do we do that? Why do we forget the person that you know, has meant so much for us or done so much for us? Why do we forget them? We was in Chicago, and as we were leaving, and we called one of the sisters there. We was talking to her, and she played a game on us. She was like, "Who is this?" You know, and I was like, out of sight, out of mind. How soon we forget. And then she called me back the next day, and she said, "You know, I had you going yesterday, didn't I?" You never know about people. You know, I could have, hey, she forgot me. You know, I'm that type of person. I'm not someone that everybody just remember. But when we say that we're going to do something, we need to remember to do it. Every now and then we need a reminder, don't we? Remember, we just read there in Luke chapter 17, only one of the 10 lepers remembered to thank Jesus. Are we that nine that forget to thank Jesus for something that he has done in our lives? See, everyone that's sitting here that has been saved, have you forgotten what God has done for you? Are you still thanking him for your salvation? Are you still thanking him for keeping you on that straight and narrow? Are you still thanking him for keeping you unspotted from the world? You know, how this takes place is that we are staying in his word. We should thank him for his word, giving us guidance that we need in order to stay on the straight and narrow. But we find in one of them, here in Luke chapter 17, verses 15 through 17, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He turned back. Look, I'm healed. Let me go back and thank this man. He went back and he thanked him. He fell down on his face, glorified him. What are we thankful for today? What are we thankful for today? Let's not forget to remember to give thanks. And Jesus answered, said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Where are the 9? Unthankful. They were on their merry way. Look, I'm healed. I can go tell someone else. Forget about the man that did the healing. Let me go and tell somebody else. No, let me go and show them how my skin is now when they ignored me earlier. Could have been their attitude. But the one that had the attitude of thankness. Oh, Lord, I'm thankful for what you have done for me. That should be our attitude. We should thank God for what he has done for us. But yet we have so many Christians, which they are not Christians because they are not followers of Jesus. So many that have obeyed the gospel that have turned back. Let's not be one of those. Let's continue to give God thanks for what he has done for us. What about Psalm 103 and verse 2? Psalm 103 and verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. We're not going to go all off into the benefits right now, but do not forget about his benefits. Don't forget about what God has done for you. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. Be thankful unto the Lord. That's what this means here. You're praising him for what he has done. Oh, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. No, I said, well, can I forget about this or can I forget about that? No, you need to remember all those things God has done for you. Remember when you were little? Some of you may not experience this, and your mom or your dad was giving you a whipping, or your older sister was giving you a whipping, and you thought that, man, I'm never going to get away from this person, or even your grandmother. But when they let you go, you know, you went and you were thankful that they finally let you up. But as you look back on that, you are thankful for those whippings that they gave you because it made you a better person. So we need to thank God for the chastisement that he has given us. It's a benefit. Because the Bible tells us that God chastened who? Those that he loved. It's a benefit. I mean, they don't look at it as a benefit, but it is a benefit. Because if he didn't love us, he would let us do whatever we wanted to do without ever having to pay the consequences for doing those things. But since he does, he chastens us. We need to remember those things. Bless means to praise God. Bless means to praise God. Blessed are those who give without remembering and those who receive without forgetting. Remember, didn't I give you such and such? Why are you bringing it up? What do you want? What do you want me to do? You gave it to me, and it was mine. I could do whatever I wanted to. Why are you bringing it back up? But the Bible says, blessed are those who are, not the Bible. It says, blessed are those who without remember, give without remembering, and those who receive without forgetting. We need to be that type of person. It's just a good saying. It's something that we need to, you know, probably implement in our minds or in our lives, that when someone do something for us or when we do something for somebody, that we don't bring those things back up. We should have done those things out of the goodness of our hearts, because that is what we're supposed to do. As you have, therefore, opportunity to do good unto all men, especially those in the household of faith, the Bible teaches us, Galatians chapter 6 and the verses 10. Are we that type of people? Or do we always bring these things back up that we've done for people? We're unthankful. Count your blessings for what you have. Refuse to dwell on what you don't have. It's sad that we can look at all that we don't have and forget about what we do have. Is there anybody in here right now that doesn't have a place to stay? Anybody? We all have a place to stay, don't we? And as I look around the room, there's no one in this room that is naked. It's a good thing, isn't it, Brother Butch? 2.5 years ago, when I came in here, there was someone walking around with no shoes on because they had dry rotted that left a trail from up here all the way to the back. But that person has shoes on their feet today. They're not here, so that way y'all don't know who it was. But they came from right over in this area, right over here. Okay, that's where they came from. But those are blessings. Those are physical blessings that we have that we need to be thankful for. I don't see anyone in here, you know, being over that, you know, you have missed so many meals that you just, you can't set up straight. I don't see that type of person in here. But Brother Mark, boy, he ate good today. He's happy. He's happy. And Gary, trust me, Gary don't miss any meals. But you know what people do? They forget about all those things. They forget about a roof over their head. They forget about clothes on their back, shoes on their feet, and their belly full. They forget about those things and think about everything that everybody else has. Why come I don't have that? Well, you don't have that because you don't have a job to get that. If you want it, get out and work for it. We need to count our blessings for what we have and not for what we don't have. 1 Timothy chapter 6 in the verses 8. 1 Timothy chapter 6 in the verses 8. As Paul writes to Timothy here, he says, "And having food and raiment, let us there be what? Therewith content." Let us be content. Can we? Can we really be content with just food and raiment? Is that all we need? That's all we need. That's all we need. But I don't want us to remember, Brother Theodius, what the Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. We're children of God. And he tells us, he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." That's what we need to do then, isn't it? We can truly be content. We can be happy. We can be satisfied. You can sleep good at night. You don't have to worry about your stomach growling. And if it do growl, it's not because you hadn't eaten in the last 8 or 9 hours. It's just that you have a high metabolism and it's just absorbing all that food. And you need to go eat a little bit more, I guess. I don't know. But I know I got home last night and I laid down and I shouldn't have laid down as early as I did. I was full. Before the end of the night, I had to get up and take me a couple of tums. I was full. I was content. But yet, that was a problem. And the problem was maybe I drunk just a little bit. I didn't eat too much. I just drunk just a little bit too much. I was content because I know what God has done for me. Hebrews chapter 13 in the verses 5. Hebrews chapter 13 in the verses 5. "Let your conversation be without covetousness." Greed. We were talking about this the other day with someone. What is covetousness? And it is looking at things that other people have and wanting those things because you're greedy. Be careful. It says, "And be content with such things as you have." The things that you have. It says, be content with those things. "For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." This is our God. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Let's quit looking at the things that other people have and want those things, being covetous of those things to the point of, you know, I know what I have over here, but I want what they have over there. It's like going out to eat in a restaurant and your meal is coming, but yet you know exactly what you're getting, but you look over there and you say, you know, I can have that too. Why? What are you going to do once you get that? You're probably not going to eat everything you have on your plate, but yet you want what they have on their plate. It's a sort of greed. And we have to understand that what we have, we need to be content with those things. So often we fail to remember the things with which we are so remarkably blessed. We forget. How is it easy to forget about the things in which we're blessed with? We take them for granted. How many of you have ever, and don't raise your hand, how many of you have ever had to dig a well? Or how many of you have ever had to go down to the stream and get water? Or how many of you, as someone was told yesterday, the sign that says outhouse, you remember what they used to have back in the old days? How many of you had to get up in the middle of the night and refuse to get up in the middle of the night because it was too cold outside to go to the outhouse? How many of you? See, we have running water now. We have indoor toilets now. We don't have to worry about going down to the creek and getting water, to the spring and getting water. We don't have to worry about digging the well. We just turn the tap on and the water comes out. Fresh water. Every now and then you get that advisory over the screen that says, boil water before use. But still, it's running water. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Can you stop and count? Do you know exactly what God has done for you? We can lose count. Matter of fact, we're not going to be able to count all the blessings that he's given us because there are so many of them. So many of them. Just try and count them. Try it right now. Start going through your mind. Some of you may have to close your eyes and say, oh, but there's no way that you're going to be able to count them. And then you'll say, you know, I can't remember anything God has done for me. And then that shows that you are not telling the truth. You're not telling the truth. You're going to have to come to grips with that. What about your spiritual blessings? Christ as our Savior. the church, the Bible, promises of God, hope of heaven, the fact that we are Christians, and we can go on and on and on. But these are spiritual blessings. Things that you can't see. But what about those physical blessings? The blessings that you take for granted. What about family? You know, a lot of times we forget about who our family is. We forget about to call up our family and tell them how much we love them. We forget about what our families has done for us. And then when they're in need, we look at them like, who am I to help you? These are our physical blessings. This is our family and our health. We take our health for granted. We only look and talk to the doctors when something serious is going wrong in our lives. I'm guilty of it. I don't like to go to the doctor. I feel as though I'm healthy, but there may be one day that I have to go. But right now, it's a physical blessing, and I'm glad that I have my health. I'm glad that I'm able to get up and move around the way I am. What about our food, our shelter, our clothing, our freedom? That's a blessing in itself, isn't it? Freedom. There are some people that could not walk through that door on this evening because they're not free. Maybe they are a slave to sin, or maybe they're incarcerated somewhere, or maybe, you know, someone is just holding them hostage somewhere. They don't have the freedom, or in another country where they cannot worship God as free as we do here. Forget about those. The beauty of God's creation. I was sitting outside the other morning on the porch and just looking at the little chickadees eat their whatever they were getting out of the grass. And lo and behold, a yellow canary flew up and the birds flew away. But it wasn't long until they all started eating together. God's creation. I was like, where'd that bird come from? I started taking pictures of him. And I got real close to him and I almost caught him. The bird is still free. Hopefully the cat didn't get him, but he's still free. That's God's creation. What about our jobs? You know, we take these things for granted. These are physical blessings, and we can go on and on and on. These are blessings that we need to thank God for because God has given them to us. I want y'all to look at this, and I want you to look at it very carefully. Because some of you, and you can take Kentucky out of there, and you can use whatever state you want to. Perhaps an old Kentucky recipe for washing clothes will help us appreciate our modern conveniences. Build a fire in the backyard to the heat and the rainwater. Set the tub so the smoke won't blow in your eyes. Shave a whole cake of soap in boiling water. Sort the clothes in 3 piles. Not one, but 3 piles. 1 pile of white, 1 pile of colors, and 1 pile of rags and work breeches. Anybody remember this? I don't. Rub dirty spots hard on a scrub board. I heard some people talking about this the other day. We used to have a scrub board. In fact, I still have my old aunt's scrub board. That's what she was saying. She don't use it anymore, but she still has it. Just in case the electricity go out and she have to start scrubbing her clothes again, she's ready. Spread the towels on the grass. Hang rags on the fence. Pour rinse water in the flower bed, scrub porch with the soap water, turn tubs upside down, put on a clean dress, brew some coffee, set, and rock a spell and count your blessings. Isn't that something? We could probably think about my great-great-grandma used to do this. Or my great-grandma used to do it. Then some of you may even did it. I don't know. I hope none of you men put on a clean dress. Y'all could have brewed the coffee, though. But we can sit back and count our blessings. And we need to. Express your gratitude. Don't just say you're thankful, but express it. We must express our gratitude verbally. Tell people how you feel. How many of you husbands told your wife lately how good she looked? Baby, that's a nice dress. You look good in that dress. Or you just looked at it and smiled. Brother Thanopoulos, that's mine. Showing your gratitude. How many of your wives told your husband how good he looked lately? How many of you told your children how good they look? Or go on your job and tell someone, you know, that's a nice outfit you have on right there, and I'm going to leave it at that and keep on going. But just expressing your gratitude towards someone. Psalm 107, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 107, verse 1 and 2. We need to think about the things in which we do. We need to think about the way we are thankful unto God. We need to think about the way that we are treating others. We need to think about the many blessings that we have and be thankful for each one. Psalm 107, verse 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I am redeemed. I didn't tell Brother Glenn that I was going to be talking about thankfulness on this evening, or that redemption was going to be in this sermon. It's a good song. And we need to realize that we are redeemed. And we need to be thankful for this. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. You're not thankful for someone that's not good to you. Should be, if it's, you know, depends on what we're talking about. But the Lord is good. We need to give thanks unto him. And this just tells about the wife whose husband never did say anything unless it was something that he really wanted to express. This Thomas Carlyle died with an aching heart, having written in her diary, "Carlyle never praises me. If he says nothing, I have to be content that things are all right." I've known people like this. They come in the house, they sit out, they don't say a word. But when they speak, it's like E.F. Hutton, everybody better listen. I want you to understand that that's not the way that we should live. We should not go around, you know, without saying anything. We should voice the way we feel. We should voice our thanksgiving. We should make these things known, that we're thankful for one another. Let's not be afraid to do that. Let's not be afraid to tell people that we're thankful for them. Let us never be guilty of withholding thanksgiving from our Heavenly Father, for sure. And many of us have, but let's not be guilty of this any longer. Let's thank God for what he has done for us. We must express our gratitude by our lives as well as our lips. Thankful for him. He sees us. Yeah, that person said, well, he knows my heart. Yeah, he knows your heart. But what about the words that are coming out of your mouth? Do he know them? Why call it to me, Lord, Lord, and do not the things in which I say? I have thanked God. Why don't you thank God? I love my enemies. You should love your enemies. Be thankful. Be thankful that God has done all these things for us. If you're here this evening and you have been unthankful, we want to encourage you right now, once again, to take a moment and thank God for what he has done. Thank you. You know, when we go to our Heavenly Father in prayer, we thank him for the many blessings that he has given us. Sometimes we ask him to forgive us for our sins. Sometimes the main thing that we think about, I believe, when we pray, and I'm not talking about any one person in particular. I'm talking about as a whole. We jump right to the point where we're asking God for things. We need to stop. And we need to start thanking him for some things. Because he has done so much for us that we cannot count them. He has done things for us that we cannot even recognize, because it is an abundance of things that we just overflow with blessings. So let's thank God. And let's keep our lives on the straight and narrow before it is everlasting too late that we're not going to be able to thank him any longer. An unthankful person will not get into heaven. I just want you to know that right now. Because if you're unthankful down here upon earth, there's no way that you're going to be able to praise him around the throne for all that he has done. Let's start thanking him on this day. If you're here and you're not a child of God and you want to become one, the opportunity is yours, so that your praise may be acceptable unto him, that you may be able to thank him for the things in which he has done for you and be able to continue to thank him while you have a breath to live. While you're breathing, while you are here on this earth, that you're able to thank him for being God, sending his son to die up on the cruel cross of Calvary so that we all may have a right to eternal life. Let's stop and thank him. Maybe you're here and you're straight away from the fold. Maybe you're one that has stopped, you know, giving thanks unto him. Oh, at one time, yes, you were thanking him for this and you were thanking him for that, but now you have gotten to the point where you say, hey, I'm expecting these things to happen. Shouldn't have to give God thanks anymore. Yes, you do. Because he is still God. And he still deserves all the thanks that we can muster up to give unto him. If you're here and you're straight away from the fold and you want to come back, the opportunity is yours. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, you're an alien sinner, never obeyed the gospel before, the opportunity is yours as well. As we stand and sing the invitation hymn, please come.